Hot topic at the moment after the launch by opposition leader Peter Dutton of the opposition's nuclear power vision, a mix of small modular reactors and traditional large-scale reactors to be located at 7 different locations around our country, one of them being here in the Hunter Valley at the site of the former Liddell power station. And it just so happens my next guest happens to be in the Hunter speaking nuclear, and that's Newcastle-based National Senator Ross Cadell, who's on the line. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Good, thanks, Ross. Look, you're probably aware of this report from the Australian Academy of Technological Sciences and Engineering. It says it's unlikely that commercial releases of small modular reactors could begin before the late 2030s to mid-2040s, and they say that a fully formed market for small-scale nuclear reactors is unlikely to develop in Australia for more than 20 years. And in fact, there are currently no designs for small modular reactors that have been licensed, constructed, or are operating. In fact, just about anywhere. You're still pushing and you still believe that this is the way to go for Australia, Ross, nuclear reactors?
100%, Richard. I mean, this is a very disappointing report. When we see a country like, no disrespect to Bangladesh, who commissioned a couple of nuclear reactors in 2017 and 2018 that think they'll be going either late this year or early next year, 7 years, we're just losing that can-do attitude when the runs are on the scoreboard. And as SMRs, we've seen them being built and constructed, the Westinghouse and the General Electric things in Ontario and Canada. These things do exist. There are 440 nuclear plants in the world. And we just need to find a way to say we can do, because I don't know what it was in Newcastle this morning, but in the Upper Hunter now it's 7 degrees, and I'm pretty sure next winter people will want to be able to turn on their heaters.
Yes, definitely. But look, I mean, at the moment they're talking about this not being viable until the 2040s.
Yep.
Is that your plan as well, that we won't have any of these till the 2040s?
Not at all. 2035, 2036, these things will be going. You know, we need the first two up and running to take that base load off. We're losing 90% of our base load power by 2035, and if we don't have something to replace it, renewables are part of the mix and they need to keep going ahead in a responsible way, but we need that base load so when mums and dads flick the switch, they've got what they want, and it's there. We've seen United Arab Emirates go from no nuclear industry at all to having fully fledged plants in 9 years. As I said, we're having Bangladesh do it in 7 to 8 years. This is doable. We just need to get behind a plan that has zero emissions baseload power for all Australians.
All right, but I notice now the federal government's opened up gas exploration off the coast of South Australia, Victoria and Tasmania. I mean, are you also suggesting that we should be advancing the gas exploration and concentrating more on gas, given that we can have that as a useful energy supply well before nuclear, Ross?
Gas is 100%. We're building the Kurri Kurri plant, again in the Hunter Valley, as a peaking plant. And gas is a great transition energy, and it's great for peak load. And that is part of our mix, and it's part of Labor's mix. Once again, I hope they, if they're talking about offshore exploration, if they're talking about drilling, I have to have a consultation and a community environment process that's better than their offshore wind farm at Port Stephens.
Oh, okay.
That's been horrendous.
Yep, okay. Well, that brings us to something that you've been involved with lately. But look, I've heard people like Barnaby Joyce saying, look, the community consultation in these 7 locations for these proposed nuclear power stations, that the locals are on board. We've heard Labor say, well, that's not correct, the locals aren't on board. I've certainly heard reports that around the Hunter Valley and around Liddell, they're not in favour of it. What sort of public consultation have you done so far, nuclear reactors, Ross?
Yeah, we had Ted O'Brien, the Shadow Energy Minister, up, I think, about 3 weeks ago, and we had our first round table with him then. Interesting you say, Barnaby and I are literally right now on our way to a second round table with the mayor, Steve, and a few businesses and community representatives. That's already before we even get into government. This is an ongoing process because this has to happen with the community, and it will happen with the community. And we want to hear what their processes are, what their concerns are, and put in a professional consultation when we get government that keeps everyone on the path with us.
And are you going to put any costings forward at this stage? And I mean, when you're having consultation, surely, because you're talking about these being publicly funded, aren't you?
Yes, we are. The The taxpayer will build these, the taxpayer will own these, and so they can have certainty of power prices going forward.
All right, but what about the cost? Is there any...
The cost will be part of the energy mix. That will be released in the next little while, where we'll say how many small modular reactors, how many big ones, how much gas, how much renewable, and it'll be a whole total system cost of the energy thing and how much these... It will all be there for people to see and make a judgment before the election.
Okay. And back to the community consultation. I think it was last week you put forward a motion to the Senate calling for an inquiry into the community engagement process on offshore wind projects with the support of a number of crossbenchers. You've managed to secure the numbers to get that inquiry underway, and I believe you're inviting submissions for that particular inquiry, Ross?
Yep, submissions are open right now. I heard some horror stories about 40,000 brochures dumped in the dumpster at Tea Garden, you know, in Port Stephens, for that stuff, about people being told they had 28 days to respond to something they had no idea about. So we just want to have a look at how that was, how it can happen better, because projects have to happen if they are the right ones. But people, as I said, in the nuclear stuff, we have to take people with us, and that hasn't been done on offshore wind. So go to the Senate, have a look at the inquiry. It's there on my website. And you'll be able to make a submission, because we want to hear from people who want to have a say.
And when's the closing date for those submissions, Ross?
30th of August.
30th of August. So they go to yours, your Facebook page or the Senate site, and just Google that one. What is it? Inquiry into Community Engagement Re-Wind Projects.
That's correct. Offshore wind projects.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Okay. And look, you said in a little while you'll have the costings. What's the little while? Is that a week, a month, you know, next year, or...
I wish I was at the pay grade that could give you a definitive answer to that. Unfortunately, I'm not, Richard.
All right.
I think what we're trying to do is break it down into digestible bits. We want people to understand what we're doing and where they will be first. Here is the costings and here is the process. So I think it will be over the next couple of months, but certainly we want to hold some fire for the election campaign to be able to make some big announcements and look like we know what we're doing.
Yeah, all right. Good to talk to you, Ross. Thank you for your time. And you're in the Hunter Valley as we speak, are you?
I'm up here feeling very cold on the side of the freeway.
All right, thanks for your time, Senator Ross Cadell, a national senator who's based here in Newcastle, and speaking the virtues of nuclear power generation.